Now, drug users in England are being let off because police do not want to harm their life chances. Officers in the West Midlands are being told not to charge or hand out warnings to everyone caught with cannabis. The region's chief constable, Dave Thompson, told MPs he did not want to criminalise lots of young people. What do you reckon? 030 30 80 55 55. Should people be given another chance if they are caught with a small amount of cannabis? I've been speaking to commentators Simon Moore and Fionnuala Meredith. I asked Simon if he thought this would be seen as going easy on people caught with drugs.
Well, I believe it is so, yes. I just don't understand this argument. I mean, we're living at a time when we're winning the war about smoking tobacco. I think fewer and fewer youngsters now smoke cigarettes. Why are we prepared to go the opposite way with regard to cannabis? Decriminalising cannabis or going soft on the use of cannabis sends out wholly the wrong message to particularly youngsters and vulnerable adults.
But you understand, surely, Simon, that once you're given a charge or even a warning, that can have a real impact on your life. And you, if you happen to be a young person, perhaps, some would argue you're a bit naive, immature, and this could ruin your life and your the possibilities. A lot of doors could close for you.
I don't think that doors would close, actually. I mean, you treat it for what it is. If someone is warned about using an illegal drug, like anything else they do illegally, if they then reform and say, I'm sorry, and they don't do it again, most prospective employers won't put that down to some sort of lifetime black mark. I think people are quite reasonable about this. But as far as this whole, we know the subtext of this whole discussion is that there are a lot of people who want to decriminalise the use of particularly cannabis. And I'm dead against it. First-hand experience, my eldest brother, who didn't reach the age of 25, you know, drug addicts, they're destructive, they're unproductive, they're burdensome on society. My brother's life was merely a sort of a series of escapes into some sort of parallel dream world. He caused so many problems to my family. And you talk about long-term effects. Well, my family's had to live with this for decades of the damage. No, of course, losing, they lost, my parents lost their son, I lost my brother. So, you know, we have to send a very clear message. I will say one caveat. I applaud, you know, medical cannabis being made available on prescription to treat chronic pain, etc. I do concur with that. But really, when we have this increasing amount of poor mental health amongst young people, and I think this is inextricably linked with access to drugs.
Well, let's bring Fionnuala in at this point. Fionnuala, quite often cannabis is classed as a gateway drug. People say that people often start on that and they move on to harder drugs, and therefore be hard, be tough on them at the beginning before it escalates.
Well, look, I can hear from what Simon's saying that he has personal, incredibly tragic and painful experience in his own family of drug use. And so I can understand how that would affect his opinion. But I think when we look at the broader picture and the reality here is that, you know, all sorts of police chiefs and police commissioners have been speaking of the need to soften legislation concerning cannabis use because it is ubiquitous now. I mean, the war on drugs, so-called, has certainly been lost when it comes to cannabis. And this latest example of the police chief of the West Midlands saying, well, you know, we don't want to ruin young people's lives by giving them a caution. I think that's fair enough. I really think that's fair enough. When you actually step back and look calmly at the evidence, basically alcohol overall is a much more socially and personally harmful drug than cannabis.
But where's that threshold then, Fionnuala? Where is the line that they cross? Either you're caught in possession of an illegal drug or you're not.
Yes, that's true. What I'm saying is, alongside all these police chief commissioners What I'm saying is it needs to be legalized so that we don't even get into this issue. And what is quite often referenced in this kind of situation is saying, oh, well, you know, cannabis is getting so much stronger. You get all these varieties of skunk and that's really messing with young people's heads. Yeah, I mean, it can be a harmful drug for sure. But if you legalize it, then you get control of it. You take it out of the hands of the criminal gangs or in the case of Northern Ireland, the paramilitary criminal gangs. And you actually have more control over it as a substance. If you look at what's happened in certain states in the US, or you look at Canada, which have legalized the drug, basically, I mean, people are treating it like a fine wine. In
okay.
some ways.
Simon?
They're saying there's all these varieties, and you actually get a handle on the thing rather than putting it in the hands of criminals where you have no handle on it whatsoever.
I mean, 10 people a day die in Britain as a result of drug-related death. But
I'm talking about cannabis, though.
But yeah,
you know,
well, cannabis,
you've got to draw a distinction between cannabis and harder drugs.
But look, you made the very good point, and I totally concur with you as far as alcohol is concerned. The legal regulation of alcohol has been an absolute disaster, actually. And it would never be legalised now if we could do something about it. We can't. It's too embedded in our society. Do we really want yet another mind-altering substance to be available on the streets?
But it is, that's the point.
But the point is the message that we send to youngsters. If we say, look, it is okay to smoke cannabis, it is not anything mind-altering.
Nobody's saying that that should be the message.
Yeah,
nobody's
but surely some will interpret that, Fionnuala, if you kind of think, well, if I get caught with cannabis on me, I'm not actually going to get a caution or any kind of criminal record, then technically I could get away with it. So is that giving the green light to some people?
I don't think it is, because no one is sending the message out. All this talk of sending message, no one's sending the message saying, oh, hey, cannabis is fine. Of course,
we
like any drug,
that.
There are risks associated with it. But you've got people, you know what really struck me about this in this debate? Not that long ago, you had someone like William Hague, a former leader of the British Conservative Party, saying that, you know, the war has been lost on drugs. He called on the Prime Minister to change the UK's drug policy. He described it as inappropriate, ineffective and utterly out of date. And he said, you know, trying to get people to stop smoking cannabis is about as up to date and relevant as asking the army to recover the empire. I never thought I'd agree with a former Tory leader. But if someone like him, if someone as conservative as that is saying this.
Well, just because
really
he said it doesn't make it right.
Oh, come on. I think if former conservative leaders and police chief commissioners are saying, hey, this isn't working, and that in practice they're saying we're not going to give people cautions because of this, then I think a change of tack is more than overdue.
Simon, let's go back to the issue of criminal records. You kind of distance yourself a little bit from the idea that if someone had got a record for carrying a small amount of cannabis, it wouldn't impact them. But surely many employers, for example, would have a problem with any record at all.
Well, I think it would be very nearsighted of them so to do. You know, I just think that There will be some who will say, look, this chap was caught with a small amount of cannabis some years ago, therefore I don't think he's fit for employment here. I just can't see that. If someone's being reasonable. But we have to look at the other side of the argument, is what is the alternative?
I guess the reason I ask, Simon, is you've taught many people over the years. There probably are some very bright young people that you've come across and that you have educated who have had their future blighted by maybe what some would describe as a silly mistake.
As far as former pupils are concerned, I know firsthand because I meet them regularly. We have various dinners each year. And a number of them actually have been caught with cannabis. And they're still in living, you know, very highly productive lives in very good jobs. So actually, people understand that drugs are available in our society, and that youngsters, providing they're young when they do this, I'm not talking about when they reach sort of mid-20s, 30s, but when they're youngsters, I think most employers will look upon that and think, look, they are so available.
Sorry, so if they happen to be older, you think that the tolerance should be lower?
Absolutely, yes.
Why?
Well, but because, as we all know, that when you're young, your brain is not fully formed until you're about 25, 30 years of age. I think once you get to that age, then I think that is a time when you can honestly say that you know you are fully developed, if you like. I think people seem to think that when you're 18, that then you become an adult. I don't think, and I know from my experiences in life, actually, I did things in my 20s that I would not dream of doing.
Fair enough, although I do know many immature 40-year-olds. But just as we finish, Fionnuala, last word on this to you.
We need to get this whole thing proportioned. We've got to draw a distinction between the use of cannabis and the use of much harder drugs. And we've got to realise that alcohol is actually a far more harmful drug overall than cannabis will ever be.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
OK, Simon Waugh and Fionnuala Meredith, thank you both very much.